This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. Don't be confused by the promos from yesterday. We are in Frisco off of Preston at Buffalo Wild Wings. We would love for you to come out and see us, and they are open and ready to roll today. Let's start with some NFL overreaction or reality. Overreaction or reality. Even though week two wasn't the best, you were still hyped about Guyton, BB, and Overshown.
Yeah. I mean, I'm still excited about them. I think I'm more hyped about Overshown and the possibilities of what he can do. But I didn't get to see him. What was it, like 17 snaps the entire game? So I didn't get to see enough of him, especially since, I mean, their defense was on the field the whole game, so it should have gotten to see more of him.
They did so great.
But I'm still hyped about Overshown. I feel like, you know, I was telling you this, Mike, I feel like BB still has some work to do to grow into that, and I feel like Tyler Guyton still has a lot of work to do. But expecting rookies to be that good right out of the gate sometimes doesn't work out. Hopefully by the end of the season they can be at their best.
Yeah, I just think they're developing players.
Sure.
So I'm not – I understand your deal. I think all those guys, the Cowboys, are awesome at drafting and developing offensive linemen. So you just have this – I don't know, you should at least, I think, have a feeling or a sense that these guys are going to be pretty good, if not great, because that's what – the Cowboys are the best at is drafting and developing offensive linemen. For Overshown, you know, I know they do this in basketball. They don't do it in football. He is a rookie. He didn't play it all last year.
Yeah.
He doesn't qualify as a rookie. Like, he can't win defensive rookie of the year. But I just think there's a lot of development for these guys. And I think the hope is around that start of November, you have three guys who have improved so much. You can say, hey, I think these guys are at least average, if not above average, NFL starters.
I'm not saying that I think this is going to happen, but NFL overreaction or reality, teams should stop paying quarterbacks who don't win the games that matter. Because you've seen a slew of these. Like, if you want to throw Dak in there, that's fine. And Tua and Trevor Lawrence. And, like, there's a big list of, and Herbert, of people who get paid just because, what does everybody say? Like, well, that's just what you do. So do you think that's an overreaction or that's a reality that people should stop doing that and being like, well, this didn't work. Let's move on to the next one.
I think I understand that. I feel like they pay them for the regular season too, though, not just the games that matter. So I feel like, you know, they're paying them to you want to go see your star quarterback and you're paying to go get into that stadium for that. So I feel like that's part of the payment, not just the playoffs.
Interesting.
You want them to ultimately succeed and get over the top, and that should be the motivating factor for it. And that's something that I wish I could figure out in their system of how you bonus that. How you get – for the guys that actually get that far and go further, how you get an incentive for them so that the entire team along with them can be at that level.
I'm not taking a shot at Jerry Jones here. I'm just saying this is what most owners think. And I do think Jerry falls into this category. Winning the Super Bowl is not that important to them. To owners, that's not a big deal. It's just kind of cherry on top of they just need a competitive team.
And you're saying you think most owners?
I think most owners, because this is where you're going with the quarterback situation. Yeah. It's like, can this guy win the Super Bowl? Well, you know, probably not. But can he win 10 to 12 games?
Yeah,
I think he can.
And keep your fan base interested.
Yeah, so it's like, I think we have a chance to make the playoffs with this guy. And you never know how the, you know, it's kind of like, you know, I never know how the player's going to go. Maybe we play a team and Patrick Mahomes' ankle is swollen and he can't move and we just end up, you know, this. And so I think that most owners in all sports, I'm not even just saying football, but specifically now talking about Super Bowl, I don't think most owners care about winning the Super Bowl.
If that's true, Kevin, do you believe that, and Mike, do you believe most players care that much more than the owners do?
I guess I do, and I'm like, I could be way off base about this because I don't frequently ask players like, hey, do you care about winning the Super Bowl? Because I feel like they just all say yes. Yeah. But like, if it's deep down, I just assume yes, but To be fair, I guess I don't know that for a fact.
To be fair.
I think it could just be I'm doing this because I'm good at it.
Players are a zillion times more sports competitive than owners.
They're
owners are probably more money competitive. That's what they do for a living is make money, kind of. And
sure.
Players play and they make money off of that, but after that's over, they have other skills to make $10 to $50 million a year? No, the answer is no. They're trying to do it off of their name, but I just look at it and go, yes, but there are some players that are obviously way more competitive in that, and some players are like, look, if we win, great. If we don't, it's fine, too.
What's my contract look like?
Yeah. I'm not going to, I don't know, sacrifice this to have the opportunity for that. If that opportunity comes about, it comes about.
Think about this for a second. I know Adolis got a little more money, but he was expecting a huge payday after doing what he did in the World Series.
Sure. Yeah.
And so some guys probably been burned that way too, where they're like, I did everything and I didn't get that big time payday.
NFL overreaction or reality, you want to see and will get to see Brandon Aubrey take a record-breaking field goal this season. Now, Aubrey said he doesn't practice 70-yard field goals, but he would love a shot in the game. So my overreaction of reality
practice
is
them then,
we already saw it,
except
I forgot to snap the ball.
That's true. That you will get to see a record-breaking attempt from him this year.
Ooh. I say yes.
And you want to
because
see
we saw it in week one, right? Mm-hmm. Wasn't it to tie the record? And he did make it.
Yeah. He did.
But it didn't count because they snapped it about a second or two late. So,
and then it looked like they were going to line up from 71.
Which they would have.
I do think this. It does have to happen at the end of the half or possibly the end of the game. I do think if you're lining up for a 70-yard field goal, conditions better be great because if it's the middle of the third quarter, you're like, are we willing? This is the risk-reward. If he misses, are we willing to give them the ball on our 40-yard line?
This kind of field position.
Let me ask you guys both this then. Let's say you're at your own 48-yard line.
Kick it.
You're down by two.
Do it.
You'd rather kick it than Hail Mary
with Aubrey, yeah.
Yeah, and like you're indoors.
Well, in this team specifically, I don't think Dak can throw it that far. So,
okay.
In the line, when they played that, Dak didn't have the blocking to be able to do it. So, yes, I want Brandon. I feel like I have a better shot with Brandon Aubrey to do it for sure.
I agree with Corey because, Kevin, you're a math guy. I don't know. The odds of hitting a Hail Mary are 2%, 5%.
Yeah, I would give him at least 5% of making that.
Yeah, so I think
a 70-yarder, we don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would try a 70-yarder going, heck, this guy, maybe it's a 10% chance.
And it could be, absolutely. NFL overreaction or reality this morning, Zach Taylor won't be the Bengals head coach in 2025. Now, we've talked about this. It is a trend over Burrow's career. 1-9 in these first two games. But it is still shocking to see when they're continually 0-2.
I think that's overreaction.
Okay.
And the reason being, Marvin Lewis failed in the first round like 7 straight years.
That's true.
Zach Taylor got them to a Super Bowl. So,
Do you think that forced higher expectations now, though? Like,
not,
you're right.
Not with that organization.
Okay.
I think that organization is hey, man, whatever we can get is icing on this baby.
Okay.
It's Cincinnati.
I don't think he will. I mean, you never know, but he didn't make the playoffs last year because of quarterback injury.
True.
So it's not like, hey, you had all the cards you needed to get back to a Super Bowl or to get back to a great position to be in a Super Bowl. So this would be the first time, let's just say Joe Burrow plays all the games, that this would be the first time where you could say he's failed as a head coach.
And my last one for y'all this morning, NFL overreaction or reality, the Rams will finish last in the NFC West.
Reality.
I wouldn't have thought that, but I might be there, too.
Have you seen the list of players that might be missing from this weekend's game, including the Niners?
It sucks.
Yeah, Debo, McCaffrey, Kittle might be out. That whole Rams team might be out. That one's going to be a tough one, man.
I lean to yes. I lean to Kyler Murray will win 6 or 7 games, and I don't think with – the thing is, you know, week 8 or 9, if they do get back Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp and they're healthy for the last 10 games, let's say, does that change our outlook on not them making the playoffs, but not finishing last?
We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. Coming up next from the mind of Corey. After 2 weeks, what has been your biggest NFL miss? Admit it, you were wrong about this. Let's do that next right here on The Fan.
Dobbins trying to get to the edge. He's got a blocker. He's got more than a blocker. Inside the 25-20. Did the sprints help? Oh, boy, he somersets into the end zone. Touchdown, Chargers.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. We got Jerry Jones coming up in about 15 minutes. It is also a shout-out Friday if you want to send in your shout-outs on the YouTube, Twitch, or Franklin Frankel text line 877-881-1053. Now, yesterday we asked what were the things that you were right about. Today, I know it's only been 2 weeks, but what has been your biggest NFL miss? Admit it, you were wrong. And the reason why I wanted to play that highlight is I thought that the Chargers would really struggle outside of Justin Herbert. I did not like the way their roster was constructed, but that running game early on is crushing it.
Does it feel like Justin Herbert is playing well? Because I don't feel like I've been like,
he's
playing, man, he's amazing.
Fine.
Yeah.
He's probably.
He's playing like J.J. McCarthy for Michigan. Just good enough to not lose the games for him.
Yeah. Better than J.J. McCarthy this year, though.
Yeah. Yeah. Better by far. That's a good one because I think a lot of people agreed with you. They kind of given up on Justin Herbert for one. And they were like, well, it's going to take a minute for Harbaugh. But, man, I was kind of, I guess, on the other side of it. I think Harbaugh understands the NFL and he understands how to organize a team really quickly. And he got them all on the same page pretty fast. And that division, aside from Kansas City, is up in the air.
My turn?
Yes.
Who did I pick for MVP?
Did you pick Trevor Lawrence for MVP?
Jordan Love.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, you did. It was good value.
Yeah,
it was
I thought
a good
the value
pick.
Was there, right? You said, what did you hit on yesterday?
Yeah, yeah.
I said, so far, I told everybody, hey,
Hutchinson,
I was hit on Aiden Hutchinson.
That's a good one.
He's fifth or sixth on the list. The odds are there. I think he can win Defensive Player of the Year. And I said, for MVP, hey, I think it's not – I would. If I just had to bet everything was exactly the same, I'd always bet Patrick Mahomes coming into a season. But I was like – man, I think Jordan Love could put up some big numbers this year, and if he wins that division, I think they could give him the MVP. MVP voters don't want to keep giving the MVP to the same guys, but obviously that is off the table now after his injury.
From the 214, I have Chargers versus the Rams in the Super Bowl.
Oh.
The Rams do not look good.
The Chargers look like they're still – they got a chance.
The Chargers are better than I thought. The Rams are definitely worse than I thought.
Yeah, the Rams definitely are worse because I figured they'd be one of the top two. I just – obviously behind San Francisco. San Francisco dealing with all those injuries that they're dealing with. It's going to be tough for them this weekend. But it's going to be a tough game to watch. I guess the one that I was – that I feel like I'm the most wrong about right now, but I don't know that it's going to last all season, is Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold is kind of making me look foolish at 2-0 right now with
is
that 97-yard
bomb. Is he your Steelers in terms of like, that's fine, just wait.
Yeah.
It's going to fall apart.
Yeah, I don't know because I think Kevin O'Connell's a fantastic coach. I've said that many, many times. And I thought he made Kirk Cousins better than Kirk Cousins actually is. The problem, though, is that I always thought that Sam Darnold was one of those guys that just gives away the ball at the wrong time. But then you go back and kind of look at his history and you look at the Jets are a buffoon organization when he was there. He goes to Carolina.
Yeah.
That's a buffoon organization while he's there. And then he finally lands with the Niners and he gets good coaching. And so then he moves from the Niners over to the Vikings and it's like, okay, he goes from one good coach to another good coach. Maybe that's the benefit for him that I just didn't see happening.
Corey, I don't know if we have time for this today, but is there any way you can put a list together of all your NFL buffoon organizations?
Oh yeah, Cleveland's one of
because
those organizations.
I am here.
Washington
for that.
Was for a long time a buffoon.
Carolina.
Yeah.
Detroit forever.
Detroit for the longest time, but right now, man, they have what's the opposite of buffoon? They have a Shohei Ohtani head coach right now.
I think
Newfa
backwards. Yeah,
yeah.
No,
Newfa, but that's what I said.
No,
yeah,
it's like not Harry spelled Carey. Backwards. That's not a real word.
All right, I think we
wasn't wrong about this, but I didn't know the New Orleans Saints were the best team in football.
Man, no freaking kidding. Okay, can I ask you?
Somebody's also asked me to give Derek Carr his flowers. I say no. I say I will not give Derek Carr his flowers. I will never give Derek Carr his flowers unless he wins me a championship in fantasy because I picked him up off the waiver wire this weekend.
Oh!
So if he does that, he has time to convince me this year,
okay.
And I will be nice to Derek Carr.
All right. What about – because I thought about this, and I think we've all kind of mentioned this. I'm really surprised that early on it doesn't look like the Bills have taken a step back. Like, I really thought they were going to struggle this season because they've had to make so many creative shifts because of the salary cap, but early on, they look good.
Does this show the greatness of Josh Allen? I know it's only two games.
It might.
When we talk about Patrick Mahomes as one and then you start the conversation of the other guys, is if this continues and he wins 13 games this year with let's going into the season, I can't even tell you a wide receiver they have on that team. I would go, well, he's number two. Like he's he's the second best. He has a good resume so far, not a great resume, but when you start doing this and taking away all the weapons and you go, hey, you do it. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. I mean, it kind of reminds me, I know a little bit, I know the Denver Broncos had receivers in the mid, late 80s, but it reminds me when all of a sudden John Elway took that leap to like, whoa.
Yeah.
How is he doing? I know he got blown out in the Super Bowls, but how is he doing this? He doesn't have that great of a team.
Yeah, Mac Hollins is a guy. You know, he's kind of traveled around. We talked to him at the Super Bowl in Arizona. He was barefoot. And then the Keon Coleman is one of those guys that I think that when they drafted him, they were like, he's going to be one of those guys that we can really rely on. I think that when they went into this offseason, though, they were like, we'll see the growth of Keon Coleman. We're going to invest more in our running game. And Dalton Kincaid, these two wide tight end sets are going to be big factors because Kincaid's a great receiver. And then Knox is a good blocker and receiver as well. And then the running game has been pretty – it got better at the end of last year because Joe Brady said, I got this.
For the 972, man, I was wrong about Caleb Williams. That offense
stinks. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And look – they're talking it's about early. All the people they added and then said they and Caleb suck. And that's why we say all these things with, like, I understand it's just two games. So there's still plenty of time for this to turn around. And, like, Caleb is two games into his NFL career, much like y'all talked about with BB and Guyton and Overshown. I know he's in his second year, but you get the idea. It's like they're only going to be so good right out the gate, probably. It's going to take a minute.
I guess it does show this. Maybe you ask Jerry Jones about this coming up next. I know it's a long time ago, but the impossibility of what Dak Prescott did as a rookie.
Yeah, that was so freaking impressive. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, we continue to be live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. It is a shout-out Friday, and next we will talk with Dallas Cowboys owner and GM Jerry Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan, live at Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco. And right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring you Dallas Cowboys owner and general manager Jerry Jones. Good morning, sir.
Hey, guys. Good morning. And it is great to be on with you, especially with the challenge we've got ahead of us Sunday.
Now, I obviously this would make the challenge more difficult, but CeeDee Lamb and Trayvon Diggs both limited in practice yesterday, but is confidence high that both will be able to play on Sunday?
Yes.
That's a fantastic answer right there. That makes me feel a lot better, Kevin.
Absolutely.
Now I'm better on that one. Hey, Jerry, I just was told by a listener that's here with us that there's three airplanes of Ravens fans heading into town right now. That's a daunting group that's going to come and try and invade that. Does that kind of make you a little nervous as they're trying to walk into your stadium?
Not really. We have I know that there's a lot of tickets being sold to Raven fans, and you can tell that by the activity in the off market, which is not your season ticket holder, but the bottom could be season ticket holders just selling those tickets for this game. But that's more than you want to hear. The facts are, I fully expect this one to come. I had this one circled as a real. If you will, substantive game for everybody concerned, with fans at the top of the list. Boy, they're a good football team, and that quarterback is as good as it gets, and their coach is outstanding. I think Mike and him, in terms of their career record, are real close. Mike may have him a few more games, Mike McCarthy, but he comes from great lineage, their coach. He's from that great coaching family. They know what they're doing over there, and I have all the respect in the world for Baltimore as a franchise. So you put that all together. This is NFL stuff out here this weekend.
Jerry, I know that they're 0-2, but in a way, they're probably very desperate to get a win this year and not start off 0-3. Would you rather them have a win on their board right now and maybe not come in so desperate?
You know, I love to do what we're doing here, and create special incentives for a team. And I personally have that. And while it'd be ridiculous to, and I seem to be using that word a little more than I should be lately, but it would, it just really would not be accurate at all to say this is a must-win game for either team. It's just not, because that's the NFL. We just need to remind ourselves that this entire offseason has been about what? Criticizing us for how we played in the playoffs last year. Not about how we played during the season. Not about how Dak was almost the most valuable player in the league during the season. Our focus from a fan standpoint, and I'll tell you this, my focus from whatever I am standpoint is about these playoffs.
I totally understand that part, too. Well, with this win, though, or this week, Micah didn't say this is a must-win, but he said it's a prove-it game, and we discussed that a little bit yesterday. What do you want the players this week to prove to you?
Well, I'd like for them to I know they're going to do a better job of executing what we're trying to do on defense. We did change it up now. Make no mistake about it, from what we've been doing the last 3 or 4 years, our defense has changed up. And we do need to keep those offensive linemen off our linebackers. That's critical if we're going to stop the outside run. We do need to come up and be significant of, really sensitive about our responsibilities if we're coming from the secondary to basically have containment. All about that is I'm addressing the fact that we've had such a tough time of it with outside runs against the Saints. But the point is that we can do that. We've seen the players do it, that we're asking to do it. And that's always the criteria. Have you seen them do it before? Have you seen them do it back-to-back before? If you've seen them do it, then you know that you've got a chance to improve, and I think we will. But, boy, this quarterback gives you a different dimension, and he keeps plays alive so long. And so it's not going to be as wham-bam, as crisp as it was against New Orleans as far as their ability to gut us on the outside. It's going to be about containment as well, and trying to get this guy from backing out of what should be terminal situations for him, terminal in the sense the down's over. We've got to stay, we've got to not only protect the running lanes, but we've got to also have containment, which means be careful about committing too fast, because he'll bounce outside and there's your big play, and he'll take it either running it or throwing it. This is a problem this weekend.
Now, since you were talking about Lamar Jackson, I am curious, is Lamar already the best dual-threat quarterback you've ever seen in the NFL?
Well, I am going to answer that question in a way that he is as good as I want to think about right now, because we play this weekend.
Okay.
And so when you start talking about ever you get in all kinds of trouble. We got a pretty good guy in our lineage that could escape it pretty good in Roger Staubach.
Yep. True.
And by the way, who is the one most asked for to look at his bust at the Hall of Fame in Canton? The one most requested former player is Roger Staubach, that they want to go up and see his bust. But there's your classic, buy time, keep a play alive, run it or throw it. This guy certainly can be in the same conversation.
Well, let's stop highlighting what the Ravens are good at then. Let's talk about something that they themselves have said has been a struggle. John Harbaugh said the offensive line has been way too inconsistent for the Ravens thus far. I'm curious what you've thought about the Cowboys' kind of new-look offensive line through these first two games.
I'm very pleased with our offensive line. And we've got I like the makeup of our offensive line. We've got some experience, but yet we've got some serious young players out there that are really performing well under the circumstances. I, too, would look at what kind of shape you're in at the, in the offensive line. I think as a group, they, if it had anything that could be a semblance of a bright spot about our game last week against the Saints, it was the offensive line.
Jerry, I've been kind of going back and forth in my own head about this, and I'm curious, is scheme or physicality more important on game day?
Both, and that's not just a trite answer. Let me just say this. You cannot play football, American football, without being physical.
Right.
It ultimately, if you are not physical, if you don't understand that ultimately you've got to beat the guy in front of you, and the way to beat him is with physicalness. Now, along the way comes some of the greatest technique and scheme things that you need to think about as well. We've had great technicians in terms of using technique to fit the scheme. You can go all the way back to Randy White, who is as good as anybody that I've ever heard about. But then we had Charles Haley. And boy, that Charles Haley's game was mental. And so he knew how to take the scheme and fit it. And, of course, one of the challenges he had in his career is what? They'd run at Charles because he was light, relatively speaking. I think he came in at 240 pounds and probably played around 260. But he developed his style and was able to take the schemes, able to, of which good coaches put a scheme and honored some of his attributes. But you take that scheme, and then you also take the technique that he mastered for Charles, and then you have good coaching that allows you to use that in its best way. Sound like Micah Parsons a little bit?
Yeah.
And then you have what you're trying to get to. Anything in all of those areas that you drop off on, you'll compromise the whole group. Because it is early, because it's the start of the season, because of the way training camps are across the board, then you shouldn't flare and get too far out of, get too excited about something negative this early in the season, especially on defense.
It does sound fair to say, though, that you want at the end of each game that your team was the ass kickers. They were the more physical team out there, right?
Well, you want it every time.
Yep.
They pay their guys, too, though, to be ass kickers. And so you realize that you're dealing with that. I was my first year, and we had a great coach that we retained from Coach Landry's staff. And we won one football game, the Cowboys, my first year with the Cowboys. And he comes into the locker room, and my old head was down below my knees, just hanging down in there, and thinking, boy, well, what is this? And we had been beaten. And he came over and said, Jerry, said, I think you're going to be in this thing a long time. And let me tell you, I know that this is all new to you and fresh on you. But remember one thing, they pay their guys, too, a lot of money to out-physical you, to out-scheme you, to outplay you. And sometimes they win one or two, whether it's a play or whether it's a game.
Jerry, last night in the world of sports, Shohei Ohtani for the Los Angeles Dodgers became the first ever player with 50 home runs, 50 stolen bases. I was wondering from your perspective, being in the NFL as long as you have now, what's your favorite record in the NFL, like an individual record?
One of my favorites is Deion Sanders. He had more touchdowns per touch than any player in the history of the game. But he touched the ball on offense, he touched it on defense, and he touched it on special teams. But for the times that he would touch the ball, which unless you're a receiver, you don't have much design chances to touch the ball A punt returner touches it quite a bit, a kickoff returner. But Deion Sanders also, Deion Sanders played over 100 plays a game for us. And had the ability to deter. What is that? That means when he was lined up on defense, they did go away from him. They didn't want to challenge him. So two or three things that Deion was involved in are some of my favorites, but I can't tell you. There's some near records that were involved. Emmett's great rushing record is unbelievable because it has to do with will. It has to do with durability, plus the great skill and the way he gained his yards. And it had to do with the team around him. So that one's got to be at the top of my list, probably.
Jerry, last night and, you know, recently, Braylon Allen has been running for the Jets as a running back, and a lot of people have been kind of pointing out, hey, man, that dude was right there in the fourth round where the Cowboys pick for Trey Lance was. And I was just kind of curious, not necessarily on this specific one, but do you ever get regrets when and after you've made some kind of moves whenever you look and see how another player is doing?
No, it is absolutely when you the plays you're concerned about is the one the guy you pick makes or don't make, as opposed to the guys you didn't pick. Invariably, if you have not picked a good player, he's going to show up in front of you. That's the NFL. But it's there's no way in the world you'd spend all your time looking at all the guys on the draft board that you didn't pick. I don't do that. I'm interested in taking the ones we picked and having them out there. And now I'll spend some time with you, working, talking with you about what he's doing on his first step, what he's doing with his punch, if he's a defensive lineman. By the way, the defensive lineman that we put on IR, in my mind, is favoring his wrist, and that's a fact. And so he's a good player. I hope we take advantage of him as we move forward. I'm talking about Phillips, that for some reason or the other, there's been an issue about him going on IR. Well, the facts are that he has been favoring his wrist.
Okay.
Surprised to hear him say that, though, that wasn't the case?
No, I didn't hear it. Oh. I did not hear that. And so I'm just I'm looking at a note here that they gave me, said, be sure if they ask you about Phillips. I'm getting ahead of you guys.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm trying to use all my material this morning.
Before we let you go, would you like to see Dalvin Cook take the field this weekend?
Well, I don't know that will happen. And I must tell you, this is a little bit of a first for me because I've never seen such made of our position and what we're doing at that position, running back this year, and not having done this or not having done that at running back. Both these guys came out at the same time, the player that we're playing this weekend against Baltimore and the Zeke. And we've got a pretty good contemporary of our competition this week in Zeke Elliott. I'm pleased with what Zeke is doing. The big part of the running back deal is protecting the quarterback. That's real good stuff there. Running back is just not on our radar as far as an area of interest.
And when you say you haven't seen anything like this, is that – does that mean you're surprised by how many people keep talking about it or asking you about it, et cetera, when it comes to the running back stuff?
No, I'm surprised. What have we got? 10, 15 guys that do media? I don't have anybody else in the world ask me about this but some media. And so a few of the media have gotten out here and written stories early about how we're going to go with running back in the draft or how we need a running back, and they're trying to cover their you-know-what as we go through the season.
Interesting, as always. Thank you very much, good sir. We'll catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, guys. And, boy, this is a big one for the Cowboys. Let's get them.
Yeah.
Indeed. Cowboys. There you go, Jerry Jones. Right here on 105.3 The Fan. That is fascinating and I guess will continue to be so throughout the season. I don't want either side to be so dug in. Well, specifically, I don't care if the media feels like they were wrong or not. I don't want the Cowboys to be so dug in that they're like, why does everyone keep asking about this? Mm-hmm. Like, we're doing great. And then you're like, hey, I know we were 2.3 yards per carry. Don't worry about that. The pass blocking was on point. Like, I just don't want the Cowboys to be so dug in that they're like, well, we're not going to change now because we don't understand why people are asking all these questions.
Well, and the other thing, too, and we know he likes to talk to Barry Switzer, and he likes to talk to Bill Parcells, and he likes to talk to, you know, other people that he has respect for.
Yeah.
And so I do wonder if that's what he's saying when he's saying they're not asking about that. Not the people inside the building. Maybe the people inside the building are like, here's what we got. As the season goes, we'll figure something out. Here are some preliminary options just in case. That's why Dalvin Cook's in the building. I mean, he wouldn't be in the building if they didn't have an idea that they might need him at some point. So I wonder if it's the people that he respects and talks to, that they're looking at the team talking more about Dak and his defense than they are talking, because he wanted to talk about that defensive front. He wanted to talk about what they hope that they fix this week. He wanted to talk about Jordan Phillips. He had a note specifically on Jordan Phillips in that moment.
Yeah.
Evidently happened in the locker room where he said his wrist wasn't injured. So he wanted to talk about that defense because maybe that's what everybody else is saying out there, and they're not talking as much about the running game because they think, hey, Dak's there. That Dak's supposed to save you from your running game.
I know we're out of time, and I don't want to pick a fight with Jerry Jones, but I'm sure nobody's talking about their defensive tackles either around the league.
Yeah.
I get he's saying, hey, the media's the only one on the running backs. Like, everybody rated you guys the worst running back room in all of the NFL. We didn't make that up.
I didn't make that list.
No. Everybody in the media.
It's the same thing about Mozzie when he was like, we're worried about the players that are here. Because every time we've asked him about Mozzie, he says, the great Tom Landry told me it takes 3 years for a defensive tackle. So that's the answer you're going to get for the next year and a half.
Yeah, I think that.
I guess Jordan Phillips' wrist is really hurt.
Yeah, if you heard McCarthy right this morning, it did sound more like R-E-L-A-X. Look, it's September. We're still getting our feet under us. They are. Look, man, they're not suffocating like the Ravens are right now. The Ravens go 0-3, and they're looking at it in a very different situation. Right now, it sounded to me like Jerry's like, we just got to tweak here, and we'll be back in our winning ways.
All right.
And I love having Ravens fans come down here because it's a test. I like the test.
I knew he wouldn't, but a little part of me was like, I mean, I figured. Did you see last week? It was like a Saints home game. I knew that probably wouldn't happen. All right, let's switch gears. Go to cut number 5 if you can, because we need to talk about some baseball history.
1-2, Ohtani sends one in the air. The other way. Back it goes. Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club.
Shohei Ohtani starts the 50-50 club. Just looking at how amazing that is, I cannot imagine there will be too many members of that club. But then again, maybe that's what they thought when the 40-40 club came along.
There won't be. Now, the rules have changed. This makes it possible.
True.
The rules had never made this possible before.
The bases.
Yeah, and also you can only pick twice. There's a pitch clock, so you know when the pitcher has to throw the ball.
True.
It's kind of like a snap count. If you can peek and see that it's at 1 and going to 0, if I just take off, either it's a delay a game or I timed it up perfectly because they had to snap the ball at this point. So I'm not trying to take anything away, but there are rules that have made this possible. He'll never come close to this again because he's going to have
pitching,
to be a pitcher, and they're not going to want him to try to steal 50 bases in a season. This was the one time while he was still in his prime because, let's just say 3 years from now, he has to stop pitching again. Well, at that point, he'll probably be slower as he's entering his mid-30s than what he is right now, around 30 years old. So it was awesome, and I'll say this. I'm glad he did it against a real pitcher because number 51 was against a 60-mile-an-hour fastball, which was hit. It looked like 500 feet.
Okay.
I don't know how that wasn't 500 feet.
Let me play that audio because you're definitely right. But let me play that audio because cut number 6, this guy is the most pumped about it.
Watching this guy.
Oh, my gosh! Shohei Ohtani! The greatest day in baseball history! This is not real life.
Now, Shohei did go 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and 10 RBIs. But
I think that might be it? I think it might be the greatest offensive day in baseball.
So some people have argued for the Sean Green game.
Was I pitching in that one?
I don't know. Well, because Josh Hamilton and Sean Green came up because Hamilton hit 4 and then had another hit, so he had 17 bases. Sean Green had 4 home runs and had 19 bases. Yeah. So it just depends. But, like, if you're saying, who's the bigger name that you want remembered? It's surely going to be Shohei as opposed to Sean Green.
50-50.
It is incredible.
Like, that's amazing that he had the 2 stolen bases, and he would have had 11 RBIs, but the pitch, I believe, right before the 50th home run was a wild pitch. So it was 2nd and 3rd, and the runner from 3rd scored, or it would have been a 3-run homer instead of a 2-run homer.
Yeah. It was an amazing achievement. I know some people were dinging that last home run because, like you said, it was a position player because the game was, what, like 20-4?
Yeah.
But he did hit that ball so far.
How is that not 500 feet? I don't think they have it measured right. When that thing was – like, I went to that stadium. That's 500 feet. And then the other thing, too, is there's probably in the history of baseball, whether it's Barry Bonds or whoever, they've hit home runs off of position players. I know there's more now today, but – we could go back and go to the year of 73 homers. I'm sure there was a couple of them that were off of a position player.
Where does this rank in terms of, like, individual achievements in the world of baseball? It feels like it's pretty dang impressive.
It's way up. 73, the issue with 73 is it was during the steroid era or Mark McGwire's 70. So sometimes you look at some of these numbers or, you know, when Cy Young was pitching, well, I don't even know if – I think they hit with a newspaper at that point, you know? So I don't know. I'm not trying to take anything away from him.
It kind of feels like you're taking a little something away from him.
I don't know. Or they threw wooden baseballs, you know? So I would say, you know, this is way up there. I put it up there with some of Barry Bonds' years.
Okay. Yeah.
And then 40-70 just happened last year. So that is very close, too.
I think it's cool, Kevin, at 50-50, but you know what I said a few weeks ago, 50-50-50. 50 wins would be even better. So if he can do that next year.
The possibility of, I don't know where he's at on doubles, but maybe if he could get 50 doubles.
Corey wants wins. Yeah, well, that will never happen.
Ever.
We need to get back to the Cy Young days where you throw, I don't know, 73 innings in a row.
A wooden baseball against a newspaper. We're the KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. We're live from Buffalo Wild Wings in Frisco off of Preston. Coming up next, let's talk with our Dallas Cowboys insider, Mickey Spagnola. And just for Mike, might have a Mavs note, too, next on The Fan.